Philippians 1, we'll look at some verses together and then discuss some things together in this new year. Verse 7, you'll notice that Paul, right in the middle of the verse, speaks about its bonds. See that? Inasmuch as both in my bonds. What does he mean by that? He means his bonds. He means he's in shackles. Not only is he in shackles and bonds, he's behind prison gates. Verse 13, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Caesar knew about his bonds, and verse 14 says, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. So other believers were strengthened because Paul was in prison, and yet while he had these bonds, he stayed faithful. So here he is, the Apostle Paul, sitting in the dim light of this prison 2,000 years ago, and he writes a letter to the church at Philippi. Inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, he closes this letter with one of the single most profound truths and observations in all of Scripture. And in fact, it is so profound, and it is so powerful, so meaningful. Unfortunately, much of its depth and its meaning goes completely unnoticed, which is also why when you get to chapter 4, almost everyone misses the point or misquotes verse 13. Turn there, Philippians chapter 4. This is a memory verse for most people in this room. And verse 13 says what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Remember, Carson used to wear a t-shirt that said, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Well, verse 13 is almost always taken out of context because it is decoupled from the profound truth that's in the verse before it. Now, many of you here tonight have this little tube of toothpaste right here. Anybody here don't have one? You want one? Anybody? Brother Al, you want one? There you go. The perfect throw. That little tube of toothpaste, little travel size thing that I happen to get almost for free, the reason for it goes back to an illustration. And it goes back to an illustration that we used on a Thanksgiving Day service several years ago, an old illustration that has been on my mind for the past 2.5 weeks. And it's been on my mind for 2.5 weeks because of this right here, which, as you can tell, and as you old timers might remember, is yet another, albeit empty, tube of toothpaste. This illustration, and again, if you were here 5 years ago, had to do with the closing words that we just read here in Philippians chapter 4, or we're going to read, that included three lessons that then, in those days, we barely had time to cover. And again, the past couple weeks, this tube in my home has gotten emptier and emptier. And I started to wonder if I was ever going to make it, if it was going to make it to 2025, which it did. It barely did, as you can see. But it was while pondering this and going through it in my mind and these scriptures that I was struck with the other lessons, the other very profound lessons in this very strong admonition. Not just three, but actually seven. You know, everybody has their own system, I suppose, of getting and squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. Some people in this room tonight do it with more zeal than others. There's no doubt about it. I sometimes will take my toothbrush and run it across there, or you know, you scrape it on the side of your counter and so forth to get that last important supply. I am curious, though, how many of you here tonight, you actually take scissors and you cut it so that you get it out of the very end. Does anybody do that here? Children of the Depression. Amen. God bless them. That whole family raised their hands. That's admirable, I must say. One of the things about the most profound truths in the Bible itself is that in their profundity, the profundity is best illustrated with simplicity. Our Lord makes this very clear with, and he uses that, modeled that, if you will, with the mustard seed and the vine and the branches and the sower, the lost sheep, leaven, the fig tree, the house built upon the sand, the house built on the rock, and it goes on and on and on. Well, that brings us to the truth I'm talking about, and it's found in verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. By the way, let me stop there. The words I have learned include a humbling verb. Learning implies that Paul wasn't always so good at this. He had to learn this, and anybody who learns something has to continue to learn that something. So that this virtue of contentment and this art of enoughness, if you will, it wasn't handed to Paul in an epiphany. It wasn't granted to him as some spiritual gift or sudden revelation. He learned. He learned this truth the same way we all do in the crucible of life's afflictions. However, we have something else tonight. Because we also have the advantage of this inspired and infallible, perfect Word of God, sort of the cheat code for life, if we would just believe it, if we would trust exactly what it says. Which brings us to the truth again, and I think the perfect truth for a new year, is contained in two little words represented, illustrated by this empty tube, and then I've also brought here this unused and full tube. You'll notice in verse 12, you'll see the word full, and you'll also see the word need. Look at it. I know both how to be abased, and I know, Paul says, how, now he learned this, if you remember the previous verse, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to, here's the word full, to be full, and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. By the way, notice that he says in verse 12, right in the middle, what's he say? Everywhere and in all things. Well, folks, that's the whole of the Christian life. So that in everything, he says, and everywhere, he says, I've experienced fullness. Think about that. Everywhere and in all things, I've had good health and I've had productivity or affluence or food or plenty or praise. Everywhere and in all things. And yes, hear this, he's also experienced need everywhere and in all things. Indignities, sickness, hunger, poverty. Everywhere and in all things. The world would call that, you know, a reversal of fortune. So that this is adversity, okay? And this is prosperity. And both are part and parcel of the normal, God-blessed, faithful Christian life. Which brings us again to these truths that I want to illustrate. A couple of them I'll go through quickly because you'll remember them. They're included in the final words of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And the first truth is this. Number one, sometimes in 2025, the Christian life will be like this. Sometimes during this coming year, maybe the first month, second month, this month, third, fourth, sometimes you will feel and you will look like your life is empty. In other words, that's what Paul says here, suffer need. In other words, sometimes being the very best Christian that you've ever been and being right in the center of the will of God and walking with God includes being in need. Paul, the great apostle, testified as much. Just as every godly believer in this room could do tonight if we called you up here as well. Reminding us, by the way, that the prosperity gospel, in addition to giving people false hope based upon false promises, it also robs the people of God of the glory of verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What does that really mean? Not what you think it means. Not Evander Holyfield putting it as a tattoo. I can beat up anybody I want to beat up. That's not what it really means. You know what he's saying there? I can suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to suffer need. I can suffer need. I can be abased. I can be hungry and still be victorious and live to the glory of God. I'll say it again. Sometimes this year, the Christian life is going to look like this. Number two, sometime during this year in 2025, the Christian life is going to be more like this. Which is to say, sometimes everywhere and in all things, it is actually, yes, God's will for all of the presses to be full and overflowing. You know, you've experienced that with the Apostle Paul as well. You know what it is to be blessed. I know what it is to be blessed. Those of you in this room or sitting here right now, you know what it is to have your stomach full. It was full last Wednesday night, I watched. It was probably full yesterday. You know what it is to have your full tank, your gas tank full. You've had great health at some time or another. You have known salvation. You have known forgiveness and grace and kindness from God. What Christian has not experienced real joy? Sometimes, in 2025, your life is going to be just like this, which leads to a third. Now again, we're going to go to seven. A third lesson from this truth, which is number three, whenever the Christian life is like this, okay, it's going to be like that at some time this year, most likely. It has been like that in the past. Whenever it's like that, there's always more than you think there is. You're never really empty. And again, this is illustrated by this same exact tube. I mean, I thought it was finished about 9 days ago. That's done. Now, I don't cut it like you guys do. Maybe I should start. But I thought it was finished. So that's when I bought this one. And I set it next to it, ready to go when that one's done. And sure enough, what I thought was done just kept giving. Just a little more, kept giving. And giving. You should do this with this little one that you've been given tonight. See how far you can make that thing last into the new year. And then be reminded of this text. Now granted, I used a vise and pressure and fracking and other things to get it out of there. And granted, it doesn't supply, a lot of fast flow, but it was enough. It met the need. See what verse 19 says? Look at it. Chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need. Do you know that God meets our needs, not our greeds? And folks, you know this is true. That even when things are at their very worst, and even when the need is the greatest and the devil wants to think that you have way too much that you can bear and you don't have another ounce, God has always provided. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. God promises necessities, not excessities. We should just be content with such things as we have, the Bible says. Which brings us to the fourth thing. And that is, number four, whenever your Christian life is like this, it is by nature a reminder that it used to be like this. This was once this. That means this. Your Christian life will be like this sometime in 2025. You're going to feel like it, most likely, in 2026. And the fact that it's there is a reminder that it also used to be full, which tells us. It ought to teach you that even when it's like this, and this is the glory that lost people ought to see in us. This is the miracle of God's grace through us. That when your life is like this, you're grateful. You're mindful that it used to be like this. That there was a time of great harvest and blessing. You think about God's repeated rebuke to the Israelites as you read through the Old Testament. And what did they constantly do? Well, the Bible says they forgot. They just always forgot. They forgot God's goodness. They forgot His faithfulness. They forgot His blessings. And the very first sign or the very first experience that they had immediately of this, they complained, and they completely forgot that God had given them this as well. And then they just focused on this. When you forget this, you always focus on this. It's like the two old friends, they met in the street one day, and one of them looked all forlorn and sad and point of tears, and his buddy asked him, why are you so sad? And he says, well, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died. And he left me $40,000. Woo, that's a lot of money. And he says, why are you sad? He said, well, 2 weeks ago, my cousin died. He left me $70,000. He said, what? I don't understand. He said, well, last week my aunt died. She left me $400,000. He goes, I really don't understand. Why are you sad? He said, because this week, nothing. Yeah. We're like that. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever consider how unfair that is towards God? To only count the past 20 hours and discount the past 20 years. How unfair is that for us to say, why, Lord, why is my life like this? And you're only counting the past 20 days or 20 hours and forgetting that for years it was like this. You know that text that in the psalm when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits? That doesn't mean all his benefits you have right now. When it says count all his, it means all of his benefits. What about the benefits when you were a teenager? And he healed you or saved you or provided your needs. All his benefits, which pile up through all of our lives. Never forget. Let us, as God's people on this New Year Day, let us never forget years and years and years and years and years of this. Just because at the moment we're in this. Forget not all his benefits. Say, Pastor, I'm just tired. You know, I mean, it's like the mom had four boys. Boys are different. Raised four boys at the McDonald's playground, and they were rowdy. Man, they were rowdy, running around. You could see she was, her life was like this. And the guy said, wow, you got some rambunctious boys. You do it all over again? She said, yes, just not with these four. We all been there. Which is the fifth lesson. The fifth lesson, number five, is whenever the Christian life is like this, it'll teach you what this cannot. When you go through this, that is when God tests us, proves us, tries us in a furnace as silver is fired, which this cannot do. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. By the way, did you notice Paul's testimony in verse 18? I mean, think about it and really notice. Have you ever considered what he actually was saying? Well, let's look at it. Verse 18, but I have all. Now he's present tense. I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So what's Paul saying? Paul says, right now, in my life, he says, now I remember what it's like to have need and to suffer and to be empty. But right now, he says, I'm this. I'm full. He says, I'm full and I abound. While he's writing these very words, he says, okay. What did we read at the beginning of this message? He's writing these words in bonds. Folks, he's writing the words, I am full and abound. The blessings are running over and abound. Not from some villa overlooking the slopes of Spain. He's writing these from that Roman prison cell. With scars all over his back from years of unjust beatings. And in the cold and the darkness of this cruel death cell, Paul's chains are clanking while writing the words, I am full and abound today. He had learned, in whatever state it is, to be content. Which brings us to a sixth truth. And that is this. Whenever the Christian life is like this, when you find yourself like this coming year, maybe it's right now, when you can say with Paul, I am full and abound, God has really blessed me, be sure to encourage those who are like this. Do you know that's God's plan? Read 1 Corinthians. That is God's divine plan, that when Christians are like this, they remember and they encourage other believers who are just like this. Again, verse 18, having received the things of Epaphroditus. I don't know what the church at Philippi sent to Paul by way of Epaphroditus. We know about the cloak, and he said the books and the parchments. But I don't know, other than that, what was the odor of a sweet-smelling sacrifice? I guarantee it wasn't a diamond Rolex and a white three-piece suit and tickets to front-row seats at the Colosseum. It wasn't anything like that. But whatever it was, Christians in a church at Philippi who were like this remembered a brother who in that prison cell was like this until he became like that, because they cared. They reached out while they were abounding. They wisely invested into the ministry of God and His mission. So, wherever you think you are tonight, this or this, it's still true. It's going to be true every day this year. Always God is good. God is good all the time. Each and every day, which brings us to the seventh and the final lesson. Number seven is, for most people in the world, and by the way, can I say this? For most people in human history. All right, so there's 8 billion people in the world. So for more than 4 billion of them. And for most of the people in human history, when we look at this in our lives, what they see is this. When we look at our lives and we say, wow, and billions of people would look at this same thing we look at our lives, but what they see is this. In other words, that old junker of a car that you kick and you're mad at and so forth, do you know that to most of the world, that would be a dream? That would be a luxury for them. They walk 20 miles to get the water from a well. Your house, if it's a shotgun house like we had in Indian Town, that's a treasure to billions of people in the world. You look at it like this, they would say, whoa. To own land, to own any kind of a home with a shelter over their head? It's just a reminder, beloved, for all of us and all this year to keep a godly perspective. And God's people said, amen. I asked Brother Rick to make a video. And the reason I did this is because I was looking at some pictures and of the past year. I haven't seen this video. And when I was going through the pictures, it just reminded me of how many times we've been blessed. Just this church,